Call the meeting of the Board of Adjustments to order. First thing I need to do is I need a motion to add, need to make an, I guess, amendment to the agenda, to add a motion to swear in John Nadeau and Scott Selig as members of the board. So I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to swear in.
Second.
Okay. Who's going to do that?
I need a vote.
Pardon me?
I need the vote.
Okay.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Who's going to do the swearing in?
Mandy.
Mandy.
Okay, do that now. Okay, you guys, one of you will come down. I, John Nadeau, swear that I will support and maintain the Constitution and laws of the United States.
I, John Nadeau, swear that I will support and maintain the Constitution and laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the state of North Carolina.
And the Constitution and laws of the state of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith. And that I will faithfully discharge my duties as a full member of the Board of Adjustment for the town of Caribou Beach, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully discharge my duties as a full member of the Board of Adjustment for the town of Caribou Beach, so help me God.
Welcome, gentlemen. The next order of business is the approval of the minutes from February 22nd, 2022. I have any discussion about them? Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
All in favor to approve?
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Next order of business is a quasi-judicial hearing of the appeal of the administrative decision, which is filed by Roy Atkins. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the hearing, and I'm going to read a statement. This is a hearing under the Town of Caribou Beach Code of Ordinance 12.06.040 for the appeal of an administrative decision filed by Roy C. Atkins. The decision being appealed from is a determination by Bethany White, the code enforcement officer, that the porch on the Atkins residential property at 203 F Avenue is in violation of Caribou Beach Code 11.02.040A. 15.20.030, and 15.36.010 by being constructed without a building permit and in violation of applicable setback requirements. I'm going to make an instructions to the board members that in making final determination, board members may only consider substantial, competent, and material evidence from parties with standing. Hearsay and non-expert opinion testimony, including opinions related to diminution of property values and traffic safety issues, may not be considered in making findings of fact. The board shall make findings of fact and identify the evidence supporting each finding. In deciding the appeal, the board shall, by majority vote, reverse or affirm, wholly or partially, or may modify the decision appealed from and shall make any order, requirement, decision, or determination that ought to be made. The board's decision will be set forth in a writing and delivered to the appellant in accordance with provisions of Curie Beach Code 12.06.050J. For the purpose of this hearing, the town attorney will be appearing in an advisory capacity to the board and not as an advocate for the code enforcement division. Right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to poll the board members. Each board member shall state whether a conflict of interest exists due to direct financial benefit, bias or fixed opinion, undisclosed outside contacts, or a close family or commercial tie. Should such a conflict exist, the board member shall recuse him or herself from the hearing, and the board shall excuse that member from voting as a member. So we'll start down here to my right. Do you have any conflict of interest in this case?
No conflict of interest.
I have no conflict.
I have no conflict.
I have no conflict.
I have no conflicts.
Okay, with that done, I guess we need to swear in anyone who is going to be testifying before the board. Mr. Atkins?
Yes, sir.
And Bethany?
You have the Bible.
Mandy?
That's
it. Okay.
You want us to do it all at one time?
Yes, it'd be easier doing it that way.
Does John have a Bible?
Hmm?
Does John have a Bible?
No, it's only three tests.
Yes, okay. Actually, it's only two. I think he's going to. Oh, Mandy may have this. Do you, the three of you, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
I do?
I do.
Okay, very good. You're sworn? All right, I guess, Bethany, you need to be the first to present.
Mandy Sanders is first.
I'm sorry.
Town clerk.
I'm sorry, Mandy.
Beach. I'm here by tendering exhibits 1 through 5 to the record. Copies, well, I'm going to go ahead and identify. Number one is certification of mailed notice. Number two is certification of posted notice. Number three is the publisher's affidavit. Number four is the record. And number five is actually the email of the agenda link to everyone. Copies were provided to board members and the appellate on June 27th via email. With respect to exhibit number 4, it is available to be put on the screen should anyone need to refer to a specific page. And that's all I have for now. Do you have a copy, Mr. Atkins?
Oh. Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mandy? Bethany?
I think Mr. Atkins will present his case.
Okay, Mr. Atkins presents first. I'm sorry. I can't read.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Board, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris Atkins, or Roy Chris Atkins. I am the partial owner, one of the owners at 203 Ash Avenue in Curie Beach, along with my mother. My brother, we have a right of survivorship, and unfortunately he passed in January. So it's my mother and I, and in tall with Marcia Martin and her family. This is an old duplex that we basically own together, but it's split down the middle in the old days, and it's the way it's drawn up on the deed. But in essence, we're the owners of 203 F Avenue. She owns 201 Avenue. But if you look in the documents, I think the prefix of it is Intol, where we all own it together, so to speak. The reason I'm here today is I want to preface this by saying the violation of a non-permit and the violation of a setback is vital. I accept responsibility for that, ultimately. I took over the maintenance for my mother about 2012, excuse me, I've been on quite a bit. And along the lines of 2014, we commissioned a gentleman out of Wilmington to do some upgrades. When I say upgrades, painting and some minor work here and there, and sheetrock work. And he was a former Vietnam guy who just started a business. And he was recommended to me, and so we hired him, the Martin family and my family. And he did the upgrades, and he called me. And let me preface this. I'm only down here about three times a year, so I'm not overseeing things on a daily basis. I come down to make sure that we open up and things are working, I close working and things are closed up, and family and friends will come down a couple of weeks out of the year. So it's not used all that often. But so we hired this gentleman, and he did a very good job, and he called and said, hey, I'm finished, and I've got a surprise for your mom. And the surprise was he had taken upon himself to build a small 8x12 front porch, covered it, and he said, you often said your mom would love to come out here and sit and look across the street at the ocean. And I said, yeah. I said, but you know, we didn't ask you to do that. He said, I know. He said, I wanted to do that for your mother. So he did, and that's how that came to pass. I did not know. I was remiss. I did not know there was no permit for it. To be honest, I didn't know if he was even a licensed contractor. But he did a good job, and so we were thankful. We thought, boy, this is great, you know. And he wouldn't let me pay it. Unfortunately, Jim would be here today. He passed 7 years ago. But that's how that came to be. So there wasn't a permit for it. And there, the setback violation, which I understand in general terms that it violated because this is a non-conforming property. I'm just learning about that, and Ms. White has helped me, and so has Mr. Batson, understand as much as I can about setback and non-conformity. But this whole place was moved over. It was originally an officer's quarters at the Air Force Base. And about somewhere along in the 60s, it was moved over on F Avenue. And my dad, who has since passed, he did an addition on the back of it, which was under code and approved and like a bonus room. So this is more to me, it's more sentimental to me than it is anything else. So I wanted to give you a little bit of back history on how that came to be. It wasn't the fact that we set out to build a porch or build a covered porch and not hold permits and do the proper things that we should have done. So as I've told Beth and I've told John, that that falls on me as known, and I understand that. The reasoning or the interpretation, the only thing I can understand from or think why Jim built that was he did want to do something for my mother, and he did. But there was a footprint there. The original porch, as I've provided documentation in both picture and in word, the original porch was raised for egress and regress, and there was a step down in front of that, and then there was another concrete pour in front of that. So the only thing I could think that the original guy that built it, the gym, is that he considered that to be a footprint, and he just built a little 8x12 porch on the front and put a covered roof on it. So when I was filling out this paperwork and asked for interpretation, I would probably interpret it the same way, that that's a footprint. Although I understand now that the setback rules that would probably wouldn't even allow what we had to begin with. So that was probably the intent and the interpretation of the gentleman that built the structure. And along the line, about 2016, when that one storm came in prior to that, it tore that porch apart because we're in that alleyway across from the Lutheran Retreat Center. And it is a funnel there. And Mr. Lane, who I don't think is still living with M&E Contract out here in Beach, you gentlemen may know him, know of him, knew him, he rebuilt that porch. And he did that in 2016. So that porch had been standing, right, wrong, or indifferent, that porch had been standing since 2014. And apart from my neighbor Mike tearing down that old block building that was next to us, old block house, and building a beautiful beach home, I probably wouldn't be here today because nobody would have ever known any different. And to be honest, in looking at it, I guess our concerns when we look at code, when we look at setback violation, I would think it would be for public safety. It would also, whether it impeded fire, police, utilities, whether it encroached on my neighbor's property, whether it caused a problem with folks going to the beach back and forth, but it doesn't. It doesn't do any of those things. And by way of it sitting there for 6 to 7 years, like it was, and only noticed when there was a new structure built next door. I don't know. It doesn't mean it was right in the beginning, but it's there. And the other part of that is, these old non-conforming homes, this home's 70-something years old, and to try to make it attractive, which we've spent time and endeavor to try to keep up with buildings and the beautification in Curie Beach, we keep it freshly painted. We keep it as nice as we can for an old structure. That little bitty porch adds so much curb appeal to that piece of property. And we all know what we're trying to do here too, at the end of the day. We want the beautification of this community, and we want historic things preserved, and we want the beautification of this community to move forward. I think that has to be considered to a degree. With that said, I'm here today. As I told Beth, I don't expect you to win. I don't expect you to overturn that. I hope you would consider it. But my expectations are to say, if we're going to beautify and we're going to improve this community with these old homes that we have around here, there's got to be some give and take. There's got to be. And if we don't, then we might as well tear down all these old places that have been there 70, 80, 90 years. The same haze will come through and take the first street and us move up a notch. But trying to keep those upgraded is something that benefits all of us, our entire community. People that come in on vacation, tell their friends, these are nice, it's nice. And it, you know, if we look at it from that perspective, does it make sense? Yeah, kind of does. I'm not here to just ask, say, hey, I want complete relief and forget about the building permit, forget about the setback. I'm not. I just feel like having to demolish that and go back to a stone step out front and that plain look that it had, as you can see in the pictures, I think the penalty far outweighs the violation. I wouldn't expect to get off without some sort of recompense. It's like my wife told me too. She said, she is a public servant, Iredell County Sheriff's Department. She said, ignorance of the law is no excuse, never has been. And I said, honey, I know that. But I also know that there's one-offs, there's criteria that come into play with it, if it's for the betterment of the community. I think there's got to be some leeway. So, with that said, that pretty well sums up why I'm here today. And I hate to drag you away from your families in the evening, but I appreciate you showing up and listening. Anybody have any questions?
So the porch was actually built in 2014?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That was it was rebuilt again in 2016.
Okay.
And then in 2020, I received a notification from the city. And again, that was when Mike built the really nice big blue house next to the property. And if you have an opportunity, I know you're busy in your daily lives, right by that. This is nothing. Like I say, it's 8 by 12. That's all it is.
Yeah, I'm actually familiar with that property.
Yes, sir.
Had something to do with the Lutheran church years ago, so.
Oh, yeah.
I am familiar with that property.
Well, you see, I've been coming down since I was 12 years old. I'm 67. Okay. And we come to that same piece of property. I mean, the old blue ice cream smoke coming place was across, had the pool hall built up in the top. So this place means a lot to me. Curie Beach means a lot to me. Matter of fact, my family and I, when my wife retires from the state, this is going to be our new home. We've decided to move down. We'll see you in about 5 years. And then we're going to build a new home down here on the island. So thank you. Appreciate your time and consideration. Any other questions?
Questions?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good evening, Chairman, Board members. I'm Bethany White. I'm the Code Enforcement Officer for Curie Beach. First, I have a memo, which I'd like to see up for record. Basically summarizes the kind of the timeline of what happened with this violation, so I'd like to summarize it a little bit. 203 F Avenue is a non-conforming duplex. It was built in the 1940s and owned by the Martin family and the Adkins family. The house is located in the RA3 zoning district. The application for appeal before you today is for the allowance of an existing 8x12 porch roof extending into the required side yard setback. The house itself is already non-conforming to the side yard setbacks. In March 2020, Building Inspector Batson was made aware of the non-permitted addition of the porch roof into the side yard setback while inspecting the new house behind Mr. Atkins. I then sent the violation letter to the property owner notifying them that the porch roof was in violation of 11.02.040 and 15.20.030. It is on a corner lot, so the side setback on that street is 10 feet. His house, which is non-conforming, I believe, is about 5 feet from the property line, and this new addition of the porch roof goes basically right to the property, right to the property line. Excuse me. It has been in existence for about 8 years now.
Yes.
Mr. Atkins said it was built in 2014. That's about right. We have a Google picture that shows it was not in existence in 2012 and shows again that it was in existence in 2014. But again, we were not made aware of this until 2020 when the new house was built behind him. We met with Mr. Atkins at his residence and discussed his options, and he decided to appeal the violation. That's why we're here today.
What options did you
I sent him the applications for text amendment, appeal of the zoning enforcement officer's decision, and application for variance.
And you say this comes directly to the property line, so how far would the setback be?
So he's on a corner lot, which means his frontage is actually on Fort Fisher Boulevard. His side is on F Avenue, where his front door and his porch actually are. It's actually his side lot.
Okay.
On a corner lot, you have a 10-foot setback on the street frontage side. So his house is non-conforming because it is only 5 feet from the property line, so it already doesn't meet the setbacks on that side. The addition of the porch roof then brought it back to the property line.
To the property line, so it needs to go.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there a survey of this property?
Do not have a survey on file. I don't know if Mr. Atkins does or not.
I don't think so. We have the aerial.
And then how do we know that it's not conforming?
It's pretty obvious it's non-conforming.
I understand that. I just didn't know
when the property was built behind it, they had it surveyed, so we have the property.
Property station.
So you can see where the property line is on the side. Yeah.
Has there ever been a permit pulled on that house in the last, since 14?
No, sir. I believe Mr. Atkins said that it was built originally, the porch roof, I'm sorry, was built originally. It was an existing ground level porch. Prior to that?
No, it was a slab raised about 15 inches. It was probably 3 feet with block steps. If I may, let me give you that.
Well, I guess let me ask you this way: was there ever a permit other than the porch pulled on the house since 14?
No, sir. None of the work was permitted at all.
Okay.
We don't have any permits on file for the property.
Not even the house?
I believe it's too old.
You probably would have gone back when my dad built the bonus on the backside. He did pull permits. He did have permits. And I remember him telling me about the inspector coming by and the wiring and things of that nature. So that would probably go back in the mid-90s, would probably be when the last structure was properly permitted.
So in the memo, I also put the ordinance for continuance of non-conforming situations, and this applies to this property, 15.38.020, subsection A, extension into yard setback space. So since his house on that side, the structure was already non-conforming, it is non-conforming and he is allowed to keep it, the structure as is. Once you add on to it, then you're in violation of this particular ordinance. And so that's why the addition of the porch on top of what was already non-conforming was in violation because it was not permitted. We were not aware of it until 2020.
Does anybody have any other questions for code enforcement officer?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Chairman, I've got the order reversed on the call. Mr. Atkins can go first since Ms. White just testified.
Okay.
And if I could interrupt for a minute, do we have an extra copy of Ms. White's memo so that I can refer to it?
Mr. Atkins, if you would like to come up and talk about any rebuttal that you might have.
What she said is as accurate as I can understand it to be. We are on a side street that we face, a side street, not the front. I think her description is very accurate.
Thanks, sir. Okay. Any rebuttal?
I don't know.
And Chairman, although on your order of business you have closed the hearing, I would suggest that you close it after you make your findings of fact, just in case you have any more questions.
Okay.
And if we're at the findings of fact, so we're going to put close of hearing after 9. If we're at 9, I'd like to pass out a decision worksheet and facilitate the discussion on, you're charged with finding facts, which will be set forth in writing.
Yes.
And you also have to identify the evidence that supports those facts. I've got a decision worksheet, and I'm prepared to facilitate the discussion in making those findings and identifying that evidence if the board thinks that would be useful.
I do believe that would be quite useful. Thank you, sir.
So when it comes to findings of fact and conclusions of law, it's just like any other judgment that I've been fortunate enough to draft as the prevailing party, or unfortunately been obliged to read as the losing party. But I have a firm understanding of findings of fact and conclusions of law. And the important function they play in creating a record in the event any decision in a quasi-judicial hearing is forwarded to the Superior Court for judicial review. So you might think it's overly comprehensive, but it lays out the record and it lays out the facts. So let's walk through those. I can find my pen. And I'm not proposing these facts. You'll see that I've asked them as a question each time. So the first finding of fact, subject property is or is not located at 203 F Avenue within the RA3 zoning district. And we'll do this by consensus. We'll do a vote when it comes to the decision. But this part where we're finding the facts, we need consensus. And I'll tell you, the evidence that you will be identifying is either the record itself, the testimony of Ms. White, the testimony of Mr. Atkins, or a combination of the two. So do we have a consensus that this property is located at 203 F Avenue within the RA3 zoning district?
I think so.
Yes.
I think both of.
Yes, based on what the testimony was.
Testimony and the record.
Yes.
Testimony, record, and Ms. White's Exhibit 6. The appellant, which is Mr. Atkins, number 2, the appellant, Mr. Atkins, has been or has not been an owner of the property since 2011. I know you all read the record carefully and have a good recollection of it. I would suggest to you that the answer to that question is in the record.
The record is also attested.
Very last page of the copy of the deed. I would say yes based on the copy of the deed.
Couldn't hear that.
I would say yes based on the copy presented to us on the deed of the property.
So the consensus is Mr. Atkins has been a partial owner of the property since 2011, and the record supports that finding.
Yes,
that's correct.
Consensus on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Recalling Ms. White's memo, and perhaps Mr. Atkins' testimony, and again in the record, number three, the residential structure on the property was or was not a non-conforming structure prior to the addition set forth below the porch and the roof cover.
I think that based on both testimonies that it was non-compliance when it was even moved in there.
It was non-conforming before he built
it. It was non-conforming, yes. It has been.
And the record shows that too.
Page 4. 20,014 and 8x12 porch and roof cover was or was not added to the residential structure.
Can we go back to three? Is that a consensus?
Yes.
Yes.
Number four was the 8x12 porch added to the structure in 2014?
Yes. Mr. White's testimony, plus some of the evidence that he submitted, said that it was built in 2014.
Record testimony. I think both witnesses testified to that. Number five, said porch and roof cover were or were not rebuilt in 2016 following storm damage to the original.
Again, Mr. Atkins indicated that it was rebuilt after the storm damage in 2016.
And again, what we're doing is setting forth the facts because you have to base your decision on the facts. Number six, a building permit was or was not obtained from the town prior to the construction of the 2014-2016 addition.
Was not. By testimony.
Testimony
of Mr. Atkins.
Number seven, the porch and roof cover do or do not meet the town's setback requirements.
Do not.
I think the evidence is the same, basically. You don't really have to repeat that.
Yes.
There's only so much evidence. Number eight, top of page three. By adding the porch and roof cover, the already non-conforming residential structure was or was not enlarged and extended into the required setback area.
Enlarged?
It was enlarged, and it both by testimony that it was built into the setbacks.
I think that was Ms. White's testimony.
Yes.
Number nine, appellant, Mr. Atkins, did or did not receive a letter dated March 23, 2020 from Bethany White, code enforcement officer, notifying him that the porch and roof cover were in violation of the town code for having been constructed without obtaining a building permit before encroaching into the required setback.
Ms. White testified that she did.
It's on the record, too.
It's on the record.
A copy of the letter is on page 9 of the record. Number 10, following delays associated with the COVID pandemic, appellant was or was not notified by Ms. White in an April 8, 2022 email that the aforementioned violations remained open and needed to be resolved.
Somewhere here.
You look at the record on page 31.
Yeah.
It's clear there's an email on the 22nd. I don't. COVID.
Sorry,
what has to do with COVID pandemic? I'm not certain.
Well, the record is replete with emails showing how the parties had a difficult time resolving the issues because of COVID restrictions and COVID lockdowns. The main thrust of that...
There's emails showing the back and forth.
Exactly. Sure. Email 22nd, absolutely.
Number 11, appellant did or did not file his appeal of the administrative decision on April 29th, if you look at the first page of the record.
Yes, he did.
As an aside, it's important to note those facts because there's a 30-day limit for appealing an administrative decision. If the original letter was 2020, what was the decision that's being appealed from in 2022? That's why the questions are there about the informative email and the filing date. Number 12, appellant is requesting an interpretation of the zoning map and a reconsideration of the code enforcement officer's administrative decision and did or did not offer an interpretation of the applicable code provisions supporting his requested relief. Did he offer an interpretation that differed from what the code says?
No testimony.
Those are the findings of fact that I feel lead up to the conclusions. And the conclusions, let's review those real quickly. Appellant did, number one, and I'm talking about conclusions on page 4. Appellant did or did not timely file his appeal of the administrative decision. Again, that conversation we just had. He filed on April 29th following the April, whatever it was, email.
30 days. So. Well, he was notified back in 2020, so I don't know if that 30 days started in 2020 or started in 2022.
Well, it depends. Go back to the page with the April 8th email from Ms. White and Mr. Atkins. That's page 31. Tell me if you think that. We're not dealing with citation.
It's page 31. 31 is a picture.
Yeah, 31 is a picture.
No, you should have Atkins' record page 31 on the bottom of that exhibit.
He's right here. These pages.
Oh, these pages. All right.
Now, keep in mind, we're not dealing with a citation or a formal notice of violation. It's an administrative decision, which can take many forms. It's a very general term. So in order to determine whether he timely filed his appeal, you have to determine whether the April 8, 2022 email is an administrative decision. It reads as saying, hey, look, this violation is still open and needs to be resolved. Under the definition of an administrative decision set forth in our code, it may very well constitute a decision, making his appeal timely.
Would that have been the same as in 2020, the 30 days?
Sorry.
The 30 days?
Yes.
It would have still been the same code back then in 2020?
It sounds to me that Ms. White was informing him on the 8th that he had three routes to go and he needed to make a decision of which he did do. So I'm going to say he did make it in time, and he did make it a timely appeal. I mean, that would be my interpretation of what I'm reading here.
And no, the code didn't have that particular provision in it back in 2020. That's a recent addition to the code. The 30-day notice, based on General Assembly's statutory enactments in 2019. that we had to conform to by 2021. That's a new provision.
So yeah, no, he did.
But do we have a consensus that the...
I believe that he did.
Okay, I think so too.
For clarification, the 30 days then, where would I find that in writing? It's 30 days that the clock starts when you are notified, when you are formally served?
I'll be precise in answering your question.
Written notice.
Time to appeal, 1206040C. The owner or other party has 30 days after receiving the written notice of the decision within which to file an appeal. Somewhere in the code, we actually have another provision telling you how you count days. So if you view the April 8, 2022 email as a decision, and he filed his appeal on April 29th, that would be within the 30 days.
That's what I think that we should need to base that on, is the fact that he was notified on the 8th that he needed to make that decision, and he did within 30 days.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
What makes this case challenging is that we don't have an argument or an interpretation that challenges the meaning of the particular code provisions that Ms. White felt were applicable to the situation. It'd be a different story if Ms. White said you're in violation of these ordinances and he came in and said, well, that's not how I interpret those things. So it's difficult. I often wonder whether the Title IV of adjustments makes the layperson think that you've got the power to adjust. What we've got in this case, without a countervailing argument or logic or interpretation, your function is to determine whether the code provisions that were applied correctly based on the facts of the case that we've already established. So if you turn to say after page 5 of the decision workshop, you have the first of the three code provisions that Ms. White felt the property was in violation of. Number one, that the porch and roof covers were built without a permit. So your job is, how would you interpret 11.02040A, which you've got in your packet? Subpart 1. You've got it there in front of you. You can look at it.
Well, it's pretty explanatory that any construction, repairs, replacement, so forth, installation, driveway, parking lots, other impervious surfaces, so forth, under construction has to have a permit. So
if you apply that prescription to the facts of the case, what's your end result?
That he did not get the required permit.
For the porch and roof cover.
Correct.
Agree.
Turn the next page. You should have a copy of 15.20.030. These are the dimensional requirements for the RA3 district where the property is located. Again, how would you interpret this provision with respect to the facts of this case, recalling the testimony and the evidence?
Well, if the house is already in the setback, and the porch is even further in the setbacks. It doesn't meet these minimum requirements.
You got two more provisions to look at.
To be clear, it did not meet them before the porch was added.
Yeah, but I think
that's a legal non-conforming situation that under the code is allowed to
exist. But you can't add to it.
focus here is on what impact the porch and roof cover had on this requirement.
He also doesn't meet any of the exceptions, fence, beach walkovers, aprons, and so forth.
So we have a consensus that the required setbacks were not met by the porch and roof cover in this case.
Yes.
Turn the page to look at 1536. You know, that's what you were referring to, Mr. Bass.
Oh.
The exceptions under 1536.010.
Correct. I jumped ahead. Sorry.
That's fine. Do we have a consensus on that?
Yes.
There's one other provision that Ms. White brought out that is not covered in her original letter to the property owner, which may be applicable to this case. If you've got her memo in front of you with the red ink on it,
yes.
And you'll see that we've already walked through permit dimensional requirements on the first page. But if you go down on the second page to the 1538.020, and you look at subpart A structure that is non-conforming as to setback requirements but conforms to permissible use shall not be enlarged or extended in any direction into the required open space of the yard setback area. So the question is, did the additions of the porch and roof cover to this already non-conforming structure extend that non-conforming structure into a required setback area?
It did.
Yes, it did.
If you turn back to page 4 of your decision worksheet, I think we're at the point where we can make a decision, but I wanted to make sure there was no other questions that the board had for the witnesses or for me. And before we make that decision, we'll close the hearing and then somebody will make a motion.
I have no questions.
I don't. Anybody have any questions of the witnesses or Mr. Eldridge, or attorney?
No questions.
So, can you, Chairman, if you, I'd recommend that you close the hearing and then let me make a few comments and then you all can make your decision.
Okay. This time I make a motion to close the hearing. Second?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is now, the hearing is now closed.
All right, Nick. Your decision's got to be based on the facts. I did want to point out that under the code and under the enabling statute that you can affirm, reverse, or modify, and that you can also make any other order that, quote, ought to be made. So with those charges in mind, I think it's time for the board to make a decision in this matter, and if you feel like there's any other order that ought to be made after you, in conjunction with that decision, then you need to go through that procedure as well.
Okay. So now we'll have we'll discuss any discussion on what testimony first of all, it's pretty evident that by both testimony and evidence that has been presented to us that no permit was pulled on the property for this porch roof. Therefore, it is a violation of our code of ordinances. Do we have any discussion on that at all?
I think that's pretty clear.
So yeah, much.
Clearly no dispute. Property owner admits.
Yeah.
There are no permits. It violates the code. So really, I think the question before us is, now what?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, that's basically the first finding of fact that and that's what he's appealing. It's the fact he didn't get the permit. Well, I think we would affirm that he didn't get the permit. The next thing that we need to consider is the requirements of the setback. Yes, the home itself is, the structure itself is non-conforming, but there are many, many, many houses here that are non-conforming. And they basically have been accepted into town. But you can't make it any worse than it is. You can't exceed and go into, and you know as a builder that you got to follow the setbacks. You got to make sure that all the setbacks are done and that kind of stuff. So I think it's pretty clear that this is definitely an extending violation by extending it into, more so into the setback. I said I do remember this structure. As a matter of fact, I knew somebody that lived in, that rented the first part of that unit. I remember back in, just before 1999, that there was no porch there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, it may be a beautification type thing, but still, it needs to, still need to, as far as I'm concerned, you still need to do the required setbacks. You need to do something that's not going to violate any of our ordinances, because then everybody in town can do that.
Yeah, and the fact that it's also on a corner, and that extra setback on a corner is for vision, for driving. So there's, and you're already restricting that with the house being non-conforming.
Well, also, if you look at, it was destroyed in 2016 by the hurricane. If you checked with the building inspector at that point,
would have known.
You would have known in 2016 that you couldn't put it back.
Right. I mean, this came to Mr. Batson's attention when he was inspecting a house that was being built next door. But I wouldn't have driven every street, look at every non-conforming entity and say, okay, take a picture of every house and everyone, things, it's not feasible to do that. So it came to his attention when he was inspecting a house next door. But
that's a clear violation of 15, 20, 30.
Mm-hmm. So in that regards, those are really the two major concerns we have to decide here, is whether or not the permit, or we're going to allow him to keep it or make it an alteration of any kind. Yes.
I think the point that you're at right now is to affirm Ms. White's decision. Remember, this is an appeal of a decision.
That's kind of where I'm getting to, sir. As the attorney said, at this point in time, we need to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to affirm Ms. White's decision and what she has given to Mr. Atkins, or not affirm it, reverse it, or modify it. In my vote, I would say that I would affirm her decision, that it's non-conforming, you didn't get the permits, and therefore her decision, I'm affirming it. What about you?
Based on the facts, I affirm it.
Yeah, based on the facts, I affirm it too.
I also affirm.
Affirm.
Okay, so we have an unanimous.
Can I get an actual motion for the record?
Need a motion.
Okay. And make a motion to affirm the decision of the building code enforcement officer in reference to this hearing.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Carries.
All right. Now you need a motion to go back into open session and adjourn. If there's no other business.
I didn't hear you, sir.
Make a motion for an open session.
Do you motion to go back into a regular meeting session and adjourn, or if there's nothing else?
Okay. Do I have a motion to go back into our hearing?
Go back into
our okay.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We reopen it. Open the meeting. Mr. Eldridge, do we need to give any more information as to the finding of facts for to be delivered to Mr. Atkins and so forth?
I'll be responsible for drafting the written decision. It will be presented to you for signature. The code says within a reasonable time. given my schedule, a reasonable time is definitely going to be next week. And then the code goes on to provide on how the notice of that decision is provided to Mr. Atkins. We'll also mention on that, at the end of that decision, is available his right to seek judicial review should he wish to do so. So I'll take it from here. You'll sign, and Mandy or Beth will get the decision to him and see what develops.
Okay, thanks, sir. Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All in favor?
Sir, was there a second? Sorry. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?